copyright forum of Christian leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
Much has been written about leadership in the 21st century, and what we're going to do in the short time we've got available to us is to look at some of the experiences that I've had of leading a Christian organisation and to try and gain some general principles about what leadership should look like as we lead as Christians in the world today. And just to set the scene a little bit, I think it's important to look at the challenges, the opportunities, but also a few observations about what is different about Christian leadership and what a Christian organisation should look like as different from the rest of the world. There are obviously lots of different models of leadership, and today there are all sorts of books written, all sorts of lectures given about what leadership is like. There are models of control, of autonomy. But I think today we're moving much more into an area of leadership which is not about control and domineering people, but more about consultation and collaboration. In fact, David Gergen, who was an advisor to four presidents of the United States, wrote this, that today command has given way to a new approach, often called the influence model of leadership. The new leader persuades, empowers, collaborates, and partners. And I think that's something really important about Christian leadership. There has to be something very distinctive about Christians as leaders. And what marks them out particularly is the underlying fact that they are called by God. "You did not choose me," said Jesus, "but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit." That is our commission. And Christian leadership is founded not in adequacy, but in inadequacy. God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the wise. And that is our calling. So what about a healthy organisation as we look at this? What does a healthy organisation led by a Christian leader look like? It has firm roots. It knows that its mission is given by God. That is the vision. Very often, Christian organisations fail because they don't remain true to that vision, but also they don't move with the times. A Christian organisation will have a common goal that everybody buys into. Therefore, there's a motivated staff. This is the mission that we have. A Christian organisation will be always developing, and it will be undergirded by prayer. That signal singles it out in comparison with other organisations. So as we think about that, I hope that you'll forgive some personal illustrations of what I feel is important about Christian leaders today. I don't think Christian leaders are formed by one sort of cataclysmic moment. It's an ongoing process of reflection, development, and execution. So what are those five lessons that I've picked out as really important? They'll probably resonate with ideas that you have, but I think they're fundamental. And the first thing is this: leaders must have a vision. Where there is no vision, we're reminded in Proverbs, the people perish. Mark Twain said, "If you don't know where you're going, you'll end up in the wrong place." And I think it's really important that that vision undergirds what we do. I can think of talking to Christian leaders who, although it's been a very winding journey and that ultimate vision hasn't quite been realised, that vision is always there. So there's a vision. But as part of that vision, we have to let God be our guide. Very often it's the hidden internal factors that are the greatest threat to leadership. We need to be secure as leaders in who God has made us to be. That shape, that model that God has called us to be. And that fits in to the vision. And as part of that vision, leaders must see the big picture. That is a challenge, because if we're involved in the work we're doing, very often we will get involved with the hands-on nitty-gritty. But leaders have that vision, a dream that they want to leave the world a better place. And for a Christian, that vision is undergirded with spreading the gospel, bringing in the kingdom, and serving God. It requires commitment. It requires political skills to be able to look at that larger picture and view it, constantly looking at the outcome. Managers are concerned with process. Leaders are looking to the outcome. What will our church, our country, be like in 5 to 10 years' time? Strategic thinking is absolutely key, not bogged down by the day-to-day. Understanding the important rather than the urgent, with a clear strategy against a background of continuous change. And that leads on to the second point that I think is really, really important, that leaders must understand the times. Like the men of Issachar, organisations and the world are always changing. We need to be looking at what is happening around us and responding to that in the most appropriate way. Organisations are always changing. Even if they stand still, they will be changing, because probably they will be going backwards if they're standing still. A leader correctly assesses the situation and knows what the next step is to be. As a personal illustration, the organisation that I work for, when it first started, was the only player on the block doing what we do. And we constantly have to ask ourselves, are we still needed? Is there still a particular calling that God has on us that fits into the bigger picture of working with our colleagues? And there are challenges to those changes as leaders. They've probably been rehearsed many times, but loneliness is a challenge. And therefore, it's vital that we have those around us who can support us, family, friends, those who pray for us, and ask those probing questions that keep us accountable. Leadership involves courage in times of change. It's not always the most popular things that we do that actually execute those changes. But with that, we must be able to communicate well. Once upon a time, there was a caterpillar sitting on a leaf, and it watched a beautiful butterfly fly past. "I could never be like that," said the caterpillar. Leaders will help their people see that they can grow into what they imagine they could never be. Sometimes organisations don't grow and change because things seem too difficult to manage. We need to be helping our people to emotionally buy in to the vision that we have. That is what leadership is all about. It's an evolving process, and we have to engage with the community as well as the task. There are human consequences always. We talked about courage. Difficult decisions will involve sometimes very hard things. People need to be able to have closure. For beginnings to happen, endings sometimes have to happen. And that can be difficult to work out because people have attachments to things, to places, to people. You have to manage hearts and minds. And that means that the leader has to listen. Sometimes listening to things which perhaps aren't very comfortable to hear. But a leader will bring around them those critical friends who sometimes will say the things that are difficult. We must listen to our friendships and above all listen to what God is saying to us through our friends and perhaps even through our enemies. What's going on underneath the surface? In that time of change, there is great energy that is needed to be persistent with resistance when sometimes it is hard, and wrestling for the best use of time. And that's where going back to what we have already said is so important. The Christian leader will be waiting upon God. That is where the strength comes from. Thirdly, a leader must, as we've alluded to already, it follows on, build a team. A leader cannot be operating entirely on their own. A leader is a person, it's been said, who influence people to fulfill a purpose, turning a dream into a reality with the cooperation of other people. In the UK, we've just been marking the death of Margaret Thatcher. And whatever we think of her, some of the things that she said were very interesting. And she said this: "There's little hope for democracy if the hearts and minds of men and women cannot be touched by a call to something greater than themselves." That is the task of a leader, to help people see that greater vision of what the world can be. A leader can take people, his followers. A leader needs followers. A leader of an organisation can take people to places that they need to go to, but perhaps don't necessarily want to go to. And so what I'm saying really is that a leader will empower. A leader will help people to grow, to discover what God is calling them to do, to empower them, to build on their strengths, making others feel important and part of those goals, building that enthusiasm. We lead as leaders on the basis of our strengths, the talents that God has given us, as we seek to develop those, and as we get those around us who help us to develop them. But we lead on the basis of our strengths, but we must gather a team around us on the basis of their strengths, and that's when we're strong. We need to be avoiding the danger of the second best. God wants the first best from us. Getting the right people around us is vital. Setting high standards of professionalism, being clear about what's acceptable and what's not. Accountability, both for the leader and also for those they lead, is a godly principle. But you know, I think the Christian leader has something else that's even more important: to be outrageously gracious with their staff, but to demand high standards. And that balance between faith and being prudent. Just recently, in the organisation that I lead, we had a financial, not crisis, but a financial challenge. We were being called upon to be involved in something which demanded a considerable amount of money. And we took the decision, this was the faith-based decision, that we would enter into that piece of work. And we were blessed within a month of considerable finance coming in. It was right to do. And that balance is a tension which is very, very difficult, but it's really, really important. And fourthly, leaders must be honest with themselves. Leaders need to be themselves. I think sometimes, perhaps even if I can say it as a woman, we see other people and think, I couldn't be a leader like them, or I'm not like them. We can't be like other people. We are who God made us with the gifts that we have. And so we need to be honest with ourselves and be in that God-shaped role that he's given to us. We need to secure that private time with God, being honest with him about ourselves. We need to be honest with our staff and those that we lead. Good leaders will have small egos. We need to be able to admit when we get it wrong and make mistakes. We need to communicate that well to our staff. And we need to be honest with the world. It goes without saying, doesn't it, that the standards by which we live are God's standards, and we cannot compromise those. It's important that those around us who we are engaging with see us as honest and godly people. Honesty with ourselves, with our staff, and with the world. And then most importantly, as Christian leaders, we need to be Christ-like. Jesus was the perfect leader. We talked about vision. He was a visionary. He led people where they needed to go. Jesus was a coach. Think of the endless hours and time he spent with those of his closest circle, but those others he came into contact with, gently and sometimes firmly leading them on to be the people that God had called them to be. The visionary, the coach. Jesus was also the radical. He was a radical leader. And as Christian leaders, we are sometimes called, if not always called, to be countercultural. We have an important mission in the 21st century where the standards of the world are very different to the standards that we are called to uphold. Jesus was radical in all sorts of ways, in his attitudes to those society shunned, as one example. Above all, Jesus as well was that team builder. We talked about building a team. Just think of that motley selection of people he called to be his innermost circle. The political radical, the fishermen, those who weren't very bright, those with angry tempers, those who showed love to others. Completely different, the tax collector, the outcast. Jesus chose a team. I wonder if we would have chosen that team. I think possibly not. But he saw their potential. And as Christian leaders, we have a tremendous responsibility to see the potential in others and to help them to grow and develop and to serve God in the way that he is calling them. So Jesus was the visionary, he was the coach, he was the radical, he was the team builder. And we began talking about models of leadership. Jesus was the servant leader. I love that passage, which probably we all know very well, but that passage where towards the end of his life, we're told in John that he was given all authority from God. Wow. What was the first thing he did after God gave him that authority, or at least declared that authority? He washed his disciples' feet. Jesus was the servant leader. And those things should mark out our leadership. Probably as we think about that, we can see how very often we fall short of that high calling that God has given us. That those who would be least among us will be those who will be great. But let's remind ourselves as we do that actually as leaders, we do have positions of power. We do have influence over people. How are we going to use that influence? Just to go back, we need to be seeking time with God for him to guide us. We need to be securing those times. Sometimes as Christian leaders, certainly if we lead Christian organisations, it's very easy to be professional Christians. But we need to be safeguarding our time with God. And so, what about Christian leadership? Simple things, but the things that I think we need to emphasize. We need a vision. God has called us to serve him, and that vision to make the world better. We need to understand the times, to be realistic and relevant without compromising. We need to build a team. We must be honest. We ask constantly that God will purify our motives. But above all, what a privilege to be called to be Christ-like. And to remember that though it may seem overwhelming and how we use that power, when God calls us, he equips us and he anoints us. And as our followers are on a journey, so we are on a journey, serving the greatest leader of all.